The Thrive Podcast, led by faith to elevate His name, encourage the body of Christ, enrich our families, and serve our brothers and sisters through hard work and with integrity, bringing glory to God. This is how we thrive. And now, your host, Casey Majorca.
All right, welcome back to the Thrive Podcast. Today in the studio, we have Cal and Rebecca Ainley, and they're going to talk about a trip they took to Uganda a while back and a little bit of an update from that trip. Great story. Looking forward to for you hearing it. Today, I was reading my devotional, and part of it was talking about how, you know, God doesn't think like we do. He doesn't have the same thoughts we do. And it got me thinking about how that is so true, because sometimes, you know, you think about how is God going to use me, or how is God going to use this situation in order to show His glory and to show, you know, just to make some good happen out of it. And the thought of that sometimes escapes us. Well, that's because, you know, God sees the big picture. He sees the end game. You know, sometimes you've got a football game, or you've got something going on and a coach makes a call and it doesn't look like it's a smart decision, but He knows what's going to happen. Or He's taking, you know, in that case, He's taking a guess of what's going to happen. In this case, God knows what's going to happen. So when He makes a call, when He wants you to do something, it's because He knows the end game. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how it's going to turn out. And so He wants you to do that specific thing. And it may not make sense, but typically, you, if you do it out of obedience, and you say, you know, I trust You, God, I know what You're doing. And then later on, you look back and you go, oh, I see what He was doing. And so coming to that realization early is a big thing, because, you know, it'll make life a lot easier for you, actually. Even though He may have you do some difficult things, in the end, it'll make much more sense, and it'll be so much more good, and it'll glorify His name if you do it even when you don't understand it. So one of those little things to think about coming up in the coming weeks, when, you know, chew on that a little bit. And, you know, if He's asking you to do something and you're just not sure about it, just walk in faith. You know, remember, He sees the end game. You know, if He's asking you to leave a job, it might be because He's got something way bigger ahead, or He knows that something might be happening to that company. You never know. I'm just using that as an example, but It's more of, I would rather take my advice from somebody that knows absolutely everything that's going on and what's going to happen than my little brain trying to figure out, well, this seems like it's the best for me. I'd rather do this, you know? No, I'm gonna stick with God. He's got the big game plan going on. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started here, and looking forward to sharing this beautiful story with you. All right, well, in the studio today, we have Cal and Rebecca Ainley, and they are here to tell a very exciting story. This is a story that it's been a little time in the making, and it was funny. You know, this is, welcome all those that are watching on video, and this is the first time that we're going to be doing it on video. And, you know, I'm praying to God, what are we going to do? What's the best story that we can tell for the first time we're doing this? And I said, God, send me something, because I'm stumped. You know, we've had so many people on, I don't know what to do. And lo and behold, I get this phone call from Billy Bergens, and he's like, hey, man, I got this story for you. I'm not going to tell you what happens after that, except I got really excited and said, yes, 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 yes. And so they're here to tell an amazing story. So first of all, welcome to the Thrive Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're thrilled to have you here. And so, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm so excited. You're gonna understand by the end of this, I promise. And I'm not just building this up. It's a good one. But we're here to talk a little bit about Not Forgotten. It's a book that Cal ended up writing about this entire adventure, this entire story of God's love. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about why we're all sitting here today.
Well, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Uganda in 2005. It was with an organization that we both loved. Their core value was advancing God's kingdom through a medium of just helping get education out there to kids who would never have the opportunity to go to school. So we went with this group to Uganda to do a number of things. There were those, it was a group of 35 or 40, and we were doing some water purification, and we were bringing clothes and shoes and a number of things. But one of the big things that we were doing in this particular trip in 2005 was providing medical clinics out in the bush, six mm-hmm. hours out of the capital city. And in one of those locations that we went to, there were probably in excess of 300 people that had walked, in some cases, hours. And in this one particular township, Kamusinene, was where we ran into a young lady who had walked 4 hours with her younger sister. And her name was, the younger sister's name was Sharifa.
4 hours, wow.
Yeah, they had traveled 4 hours. They had heard that we were doing a medical clinic. And I think, because my wife is a nurse and she was there, doing examinations, and we were doing any number of things medically for people that we had, either medicine for or the capability of handling. But one of the young ladies that was traveling with us, who happened to be doing her dissertation, anthropology dissertation, came across this young lady and her younger sister, and she brought them to Rebecca. And I wasn't there. Rebecca was the one who did the examination, so I'm going to let her tell that part of the story.
So we're in this hut-like, seeing just person after person, kids, adults. And Erica came up and she said, "I got this little girl outside who, she's got this big growth outside of her stomach, and you need to come and look at it." So we brought her in, and who I was working with was a PA, and being a male, and I chose to be the one to look. And she had this, it looked like a cyst, a mm-hmm. huge cyst, just outside of her lower abdomen. And it smelled of urine. I mean, she smelled of urine. I mean, sick urine, like not very sterile. Mm-hmm. And she was dirty, her clothes are dirty, and she's just this precious, precious little girl. And the sister brought her, not knowing what in the world it was, and I had no idea what it was. So we ended up setting up for Sharifa to come back to Kampala the next day, I believe it was, and brought her into one of the little medical clinics there in Kampala. And the doctor there was so impressed that we were concerned about this little girl, because he was an orphan who had been sponsored to become a doctor.
Wow.
And so here we're bringing this little girl, and he's all excited about being able to take care of her, but he doesn't know what's wrong with her. So he gets some tests done and finds out what it is her bladder was born outside of her body.
Oh my goodness.
So I'd never seen that or heard of that. I've heard of infants having what we call gastroschisis, which is when the abdomen is open when they're born, and their intestines are born outside, and they can surgically put them back in. And that's when they're newborns. But this little girl's 8 years old, so we don't know what we can do for her.
It's a miracle she made it that long.
Yes. From our understanding, she never went to school. She was the youngest of 19 children at that time. And she would just sit in the cornfields while her dad was out working. and she didn't go to school. She was an outcast, and they were just waiting for her to die. So she comes into our lives. And over, I think it was a year that we worked on trying to get her to Children's Hospital. Looked at that, and it was going to be like $1 million to do that. So it was like no way being able to do that. But there was, I'm not sure from what country he came from, but a surgeon came from either
Sweden,
had come from Sweden and examined her and found out that he was going to be able to do the surgery for like $15,000 or something right there in Kampala.
He was doing the surgery pro bono, but that was the cost of hospital and supplies and all of those things.
Right.
But to back up a little bit, there was nothing that could be done for her by the Ugandan doctor that examined her and found out that it was the perforated exposed bladder and took her back to the church. You know, we thought about, you know, obtaining a visa to bring her to the States. That was too expensive. And so basically we prayed over her, and my wife and the other medical professionals, they just did everything they could to make her as comfortable as possible and to keep her from getting infection, and cleaned her up and sent her back to the village just mm-hmm. praying. And it was a sad day because for a very short window of time, Sharifa had this glimmer of hope, and it just kind of fell apart. But that was in August. In October was when we had got the word that this Swedish doctor was passing through. He could do the surgery. We needed to raise the money. So we threw together a fundraiser of 200 or 300 people and were able to procure the money through the fundraiser. It was all about Sharifa. And meanwhile, they went ahead with the surgery. She was completely, the doctor was able to take care of her problem, you know, completely. Mm. Now, I have to back up a little bit here to really, you know, get the fullest impact of the story. Sharifa came from a very small village in Uganda. Busolo was the name of the village, and it was predominantly Muslim. In fact, her dad was one of the leading Muslim leaders in the village, very hostile to Christianity, but very, very poor. And so when they heard that, you know, we were coming with a medical team, they sent Sharifa. And but when they found out that this doctor could do the surgery, the doctor said she's going to have to come and she's going to have to stay near the hospital for 6 weeks following the operation in a sterile environment, you know, for her own, you know, conditioned and for the healing process and for exam follow-up exams. And so the pastor that we've been working with over in Kampala, his church was there in the city. He provided a room that they sterilized and put two beds in. And one was for Sharifa, and one was for her father, who came with her and stayed with her for 6 weeks. And there was no plan on, you know, he didn't have the money to pay anything anyway.
Right.
But there was no plan, you know, that nothing was ever said about money or anything. It was just, you know what? God has given us the opportunity to do this. We're going to do it. And so they came to stay following the surgery at this church. And early on in the first week, this Muslim father of Sharifa's dad came to the pastor of the church and he said, I need somewhere to do my Muslim prayers. Because in Uganda, being more than 50% Muslim, the sirens would go off and they would all go to their place, put out their rug. And mm-hmm. and Moses, the pastor of the church, said, why don't you come and pray in my office? And there were some of his attenders standing around going, what? You know, and later he said to them, hey, let's not let his religion get in the way of loving him.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty profound.
That's what we're called. We're not called to pull out your card. What do you, no. It's, you know.
Exactly. So he set him up right there in his office to do that. And they just loved on him. They just loved on him. And in the fifth week that they were there, God did an amazing thing.
So right there, if you didn't think this could get better, buckle up. This is where it gets really good.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. It's amazing when we get out of God's way and he just enters the picture.
Yes.
Because Sharifa's dad, his name is Swarihi, he had a 3 o'clock in the morning apparition. I don't know. I can't explain how visual it was, but it was Jesus, and it was a bright, bright light. And Swarihi had seen a picture of Jesus when he was a boy, and so that was the only way he could identify that it was Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus made one statement, really one question, to Swarihi. Swarihi was in his bed looking up, and Jesus said, "Why won't you let me love you?"
Wow.
And that was it. Now, there was another pastor from the bush that was staying in a room adjacent to their room. Swarihi got up out of bed, went out the door, and went over at 3 o'clock in the morning and knocked on that door. He was so impacted by this vision that he explained to this pastor, I have to know what to do with this. I don't know what to do. And the pastor invited him in, and he very calmly said, "God loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you."
Yes.
And it didn't take much conversation. Swarihi knelt in that room with that pastor right then and there. And he gave his life to Christ.
Praise God.
He completely renounced his Muslim past and decided that he was going to follow Jesus.
Oh, that is just... That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing that God does. And the next day, he couldn't wait to find the pastor, Moses. He found him, and he took his prayer hat, his Muslim prayer hat off, and he handed it to Moses and said, "I'm giving you this as a sign of my conversion, of my faith, and putting my faith in Christ." And... anyway, it was a phenomenal. And that was in his fifth week, so he had one more week there. In that week, Moses witnessed a transformation in this man.
Beautiful.
He found out that he could be baptized, and he said, "I want to be baptized." So they took him down to the river, and with other believers that were getting baptized, he got baptized. And just the countenance of his face changed. His boldness of talking about his conversion in that week changed. Pastor Moses had invited him to share with the congregation his conversion. And he got up in front of Pastor Moses' church and shared what God had done and how he'd revealed himself to him. And sitting in the front row on that day was Sharifa. And there were tears in her eyes. She had grown up crying because of her situation, but on this particular day, those tears came from a different motivation, and that was because she saw a father who was truly changed.
Yes.
And on that Sunday, she decided to give her heart to Jesus because of what she'd saw in her father. So, I mean, they prayed over them and sent them back to their village. And again, this is where the story...
again, if you thought it couldn't get any better, hang on.
Swarihi went back to his village a new man. Of course, Sharifa, she had had, you know, the operation, and she was, you know, they'd given her some new clothes. She was wearing a new dress. She had a smile on her face, and she was looking up. When my wife met her and saw her, her head was down. She wouldn't look up. Like she said, she was filthy and, you know, stinky, and she was vibrant.
But
everyone saw this young girl, and then, of course, they saw Swarihi, and he had a different countenance about him. And they said, "What happened?" And he told them what happened. And, of course, we're talking a Muslim village. They said, "You can't stay here. You've got to go. You've got to leave." And he said, "I'm not leaving. I'm staying."
Yes.
So then, long story short, they tried to poison him. They tried to kill him, and that didn't work.
Hey, I've read that in the Bible before. Yeah. Wait a minute.
God was at work doing something, and when these people saw that, just like in the New Testament with Paul,
yep,
several of them said, this is astounding, this is unexplainable, and they started asking him questions, and they came to faith in Christ. Sometime later, Suri, he had an older sister who was... she was incapacitated with some sort of arthritis, and she couldn't walk, and she had been confined to sitting in a chair for years. And as a new believer, excited about what had happened in his life, he decided, I'm going to pray for my sister. And there were people from the village there that day, and they prayed over her, and they witnessed her get out of her chair and walk across the room. And again, they said, how can you deny the love of a God who would do this?
Right.
And so more became converted. And anyway, in a space of 6 months or so, there were dozens of people in this village that came to faith in Christ as a result of a little girl who thought she was completely forgotten,
right,
left to die. And God did a remarkable thing. A year later, Rebecca was able to go back and visit Sharifa and her dad, and they were having a celebration in her honor. Mm-hmm. And they Swarihi presented Rebecca with a chicken.
How'd you feel about a chicken as a gift?
Well, what was incredible about that whole situation was, even though they've kind of become Christians, they still separated the men from the women when mm-hmm. they eat. But he had put this, he had all the men of the village there, and he had set up a place of honor for me and Sharifa. Mm. And the men served us.
Oh, wow.
Which was incredible.
That's,
I mean,
huge.
I didn't deserve any of that. I was just totally blown away by that, because all I did was bring her to the doctor, you know? And at the end of this feast, he went and got his prize chicken, and he brought his prize chicken to give to me as a gift, as his greatest gift that he could give to me.
Wow.
And I have never, ever received a more precious gift and valuable gift than that, because with them being so poor,
yes,
that he wanted me to have his best.
Right.
And that's, isn't that what God does for us?
Absolutely. I was just...
He gave his best.
His best for
us. As we're so poor.
Yes.
And what did he... Do you remember what he said to those sitting around?
I don't. It's probably in your book.
He said, I was expecting us to have this kind of a gathering for Sharifa's funeral, mm-hmm. for her passing. And instead, here we are, celebrating life.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it truly is a great story of just doing what God calls us to do in love, and then getting out of the way and letting him do the work.
Yes, and that's what I was just going to say. You know, what's funny about this whole thing is... all of this has a ring of familiarity, and it's as if it was a story straight out of the Bible. But that's what the beautiful thing is. There's those that believe that God had done all he was going to do, and then he'll just come back. And no, he continually to this day just continues to pour out his love. He continues to pour out miracles. You just have to see them. You have to be willing to see them. They're there. And mm-hmm. that's what I, you know... Oh, I told you, didn't I? This is what it was. It's when you listen to this, it's just, you get the chills, and it's just like, this is unbelievable, but it is, because it's true.
Well, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that he's praying for the Ephesian believers, and he says his prayer is that the Christians there would know the breadth and the width and the height and the depth of God's love.
Yes.
And God's demonstration of a prevailing, relentless love that Paul talks about is all over this story.
Yes.
of what God not only did for Sharifa, mm-hmm. in this 8-year-old little girl who would just cry in her dad's cornfields and banana fields, and bring her a new hope for life. So it's a story that Pastor Moses wanted to get out there, especially to children.
Right.
He said, this is a story we've got to tell. And so I volunteered to, you know, write the story out for kids. Yeah. And that's how the book came to pass. We're interested in just seeing people be exposed to the kind of love, of course, like you said, that we see in pages of Scripture.
Yes.
And when we see it, you know, so firsthand, right, you know, before our eyes, you just want to get out and shout it. And
absolutely.
Because you want people to know that God is a God of relentless love.
Yeah.
And so that's why the book was written.
And so, since we're running out of time, right before that, just to keep in mind, this was 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, what just happened recently?
Well, recently, I had a young man who was able to contact me through Facebook and social media, who I knew with the organization that I was a board member for, and we'd, you know, exchanged some conversations via Facebook, and I asked him, "What do you ever run across Sharifa? Do you know what's happened to her?" Because I hadn't had any connection, no communication for 10 years. And about a week later, boom, a picture comes up on my Facebook, and there's Sharifa, a 19-year-old, beautiful young lady.
Amazing.
And it made it all come back to me. It flooded me with, oh my gosh, you know, she's not only alive, but she's thriving.
Yes.
And she's the main caregiver for her family, her mom, her brothers and sisters. And so, you know, with 4,000 books out there, I just said, God, you want this story to get out there.
Yeah.
You want people to know. And just how the book came about was pretty amazing, too. And we can save that for another time.
Yeah.
But I know that he has, he does these sorts of things for his glory and... So it's a story that we want to get out there.
So how can everybody out there? So now you've heard the story. If you got kids, they'll love the story. We read it to our girls; they loved it. A couple people in the church have this in our church have this book, and they love it. So how can people get a hold of this book?
Well, they can. I have a website, and it's www.scripturedittes.com. And the book is on there, and there's contact information there, and it's on a donation basis alone. And I want you to know that every single penny of anyone's donation for this book is going to go to Sharifa. Sharifa is looking to become a beautician. She wants to be able to make other women look beautiful. And right there in Uganda, and she wants to go to school for that. So that's the latest communication that we've gotten, and we want to help her to be able to do that. So any proceeds from this book is going to go to Sharifa.
Excellent.
And to her education. So check out the website, and the information is there, and we'll get a book to you.
Perfect.
One last thing,
yeah.
is when Sharifa was found by Jimmy, she said, "They remember me."
Wow.
Not forgotten.
I was just going to say, not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
Hold on 2 seconds. I think my other camera just died. All right. Well, that's absolutely the perfect ending because, again, the book is not forgotten. And how much better that they remembered me. That's mm-hmm. that's just absolutely amazing. So, yeah, go ahead and check it out, everybody. Highly recommend it. And, again, all proceeds are going to be sent back to Sharifa in Uganda. It's just a wonderful story, and I felt like we had to share this. Actually, I didn't. God did, because, again, this whole putting this all together was absolutely of him. So it's just a wonderful story. Thank you so much for bringing it to us, and thank you for heading over there and doing all that work in the first place, because to be able to see God move through it is just warms my heart. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for coming out here.
Thank you.
All right, well, that was a truly amazing story. You can see why I wanted to share that so bad with everybody. It was just one of those stories that it latches onto your heart, and both, you know, you hurt to hear the beginning of the story, and then it's just a great ending. So I know, you know, when I first heard it, I was just so excited that I wanted to get the word out, and it's just, you know, that feeling of what God did.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting in listening to the story how the thing that struck me as I was going through, as I was listening, as they were walking me through, or whoever's listening, through each step along the way, that I thought it was going to be just Sharifa that was the miracle in this. And as it turns out, you know, it wasn't just Sharifa. Yeah, God healed her, you know, and brought her those the people to help her with the surgery and everything. But the miracle also is that her dad came to know Christ during that.
Yeah. And then to later, you know, bring that to some of the people in their village, it's just, it's truly awe-inspiring. And it's just, truly shows that God wants to be in every part of your life.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, at the end when Rebecca said, you know, Sharifa, they go back and like, you remember me? Like, how could we forget you? So, you know, I think it just says a lot about her spirit, just that humble spirit. And I'm excited to be able to share this with everybody and share the story and what God's done in it, and see how we can help support her where she's at today.
And that's the Mayorga Minute.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. If you like what you saw, jump on Facebook and Twitter at Thrive Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, as well as our YouTube channel will be coming out here soon. We're going to be merging with Thrive Studios, which is the studio that I run for video and photo. We're going to put that all together. Thrive Podcast is still going to be there. We're just going to be doing it under one social media site instead of two. So keep your eyes peeled for that. If you've got any questions, you got any comments, or you'd like to see something on the show, contact us at podcast@thrivepodcast.org, and we will do our best to see if we can't get your ideas published out here. All right. Well, don't forget, in everything you do, bring glory to God. Have a blessed week.